Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Acharimas, will Amir Chesem have four Divrei Torah after a quick overview of the Parsha? The Parsha starts out as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, after the death of two of the sons of Aharon, that's Nadav and Avihu, when they came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is when they died. They did something inappropriate, how they came close, and accordingly, the Parsha discusses what's the appropriate way for the Kohen Gadol to come close, to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, initially in the Mishkan and thereafterwards in the Beis HaMikdash. And what we have is the detailed Avoda on Yom Kippur, which is further detailed in Maseches Yuma, talking about the various Karbanos and the two Seirim, the matching Seirim. One was sent out La Zalza, one was brought La Hashem, the bringing of the Ketores, the sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh Kadoshim, etc., etc. And then the end of the day, we have some famous and very powerful psukim. What is Yom Kippur? As it says in Kerek, Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed, Ki Bayom Hazeh, Yichaper Aleichem Letahar Eschem. It's going to be on this day, Yom Kippur, that you will have a kapara. You will be metaher, you will purify yourselves from all of your sins, lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shall be purified. And it continues that Yom Kippur is a Shabbat, Shabbason, v'inisem as nashachem, etc., etc. Thereafterward, we have some related mitzvahs or isurim. It says that when the avoda is done, it has to be done only in the Mishkan initially, and thereafterward in the Beis HaMikdash. If somebody brings a korban outside, that is a serious prohibition called shchutei chutz. Somebody who shachs or brings a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the proper place, that is absolutely prohibited. And then it also has the discussion of the prohibition of eating blood and the requirement to cover up blood when somebody shachts an animal. That is called kisui hadam, cover up the blood. And thereafterward, not the entire balance of the parsha, but most of the balance of the parsha has a discussion of forbidden relationships. This is what is read on Mincha of Yom Kippur. Let's go back towards the beginning, or almost all the way at the beginning of the parsha. It says as follows: when the Kohen Gadol comes in to the Kodesh Kadoshim, Ki ba'anan Israel ha'kapar, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, for in a cloud I will appear upon the ark cover. I will be there. It's like a promise. I will be there. There I will greet the Kohen Gadol. This Sforner says as follows: what's going on here is right after the Kohen Gadol, when he does the appropriate avoda in the Mishkan, thereafter in the Beis HaMikdash, and he brings his korban chatas, v'yakriven, he's makrivet, he purifies himself from his sins, he confesses, so he's ready to go. He has gotten rid of the bad, as now he is ready to do the good, because he has prepared himself for Tahara, for Kedusha, Muftachlo, he is promised, it is certain that he will be Zocha, that he will merit to see the Kvod Hashem when he comes into the Kodesh Kodeshim. Why is that? Because there's a principle, Kasher Nasa Mucha Naor Beor Pnei HaMelech, Hinei HaMelech Yireh Lecho Mucha Nora. When somebody prepares himself properly, his Metar himself, purifies himself, and is ready with sincerity to greet the king will be there ready to greet him as well. And in other words, when we prepare ourselves for Kedusha, we will be, Bezrat Hashem, merit that Kedusha. This is the ultimate example. When the Kohen Gadol prepares himself properly, coming up to Yom Kippur and on Yom Kippur itself, and then he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Pasuk says, I will be there to greet him. And Amir Jassam, we should also prepare ourselves each on our own level to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number two, in talking about the various begadim, the clothing that is worn, it says in Karek Tetzayin, Pasuk Dalet, the Kohen Gadol had two sets of Big Day Kahuna, the white Big Day Kahuna, the golden Big Day Kahuna. The golden was worn all year round. The special white was worn at certain parts of the Avoda, only on Yom Kippur. The Orach Chaim says on this Pasuk as follows, the focus is on the Ksones Bad Kodesh Yilbash, the tunic. Tunic is like a long shirt, a robe that was worn underneath. It was on the body itself. So the Orach Chaim says, what is this pasuk coming to teach us that the tunic had to be holy and it's worn, it's specifically the statement by the tunic. So he says, so interestingly, very big, important message here, says, don't think that it's only the begadim, the fancy begadim of the Kohen Gadol that you can see on the outside, the choshen and the ephod and the me'il, that's the outer coat and the special pamonim, the various bells and adornments, the pomegranates on the bottom of it, and the tzitz hazahav, the golden seats on the head of the Kohen Gadol. Don't think it's only those that are holy, that they are a kadosh. But you may come to think that the ketones is just a piece of clothing that's worn by everyone. Everyone has a long shirt or a shirt, something close to their body, a robe. Or we could say the same thing about the michnasayim, that's the undergarments, the pants underneath that the Kohen wears. We would think that those don't have to be holy. They don't have to be on the same level. They don't have to be made of the holy fabric. Says the Or HaChaim, that is incorrect. We see that this pasuk is coming to teach us that just like the outside, the fancy outer garments have to be kodesh, so too the undergarments that are not seen have to be kodesh as well. And he says an important message that we learn from this, that it's not only the avoda that we are involved with, not talking about the Kohen Gadol, not talking about the Beis HaMikdash, but ourselves in our worship, that when we are davening and learning, that we have to be holy at those times, and we have to act appropriately at those times, that we may think that at other times we don't have to be. No, we learn from the undergarments, from the clothing underneath, the ketones, that's the tunic, the michnasayim, the pants of the Kohen Gadol that have to be kodesh, even the things that aren't viewed, even the things that aren't thought of as holy, but nonetheless, we still have to act holy. For example, when we're eating, and when we're drinking, and when we're going to sleep, and when we're sleeping, and when we're resting, and when we're just schmoozing with other people, everything has to be bekiddush. It has to be with holiness, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Kol Ma'asecha, you L'shem Shemaim, all the actions that we do have to be for the proper purposes, L'shem Shemaim, all the acts that we do have to be bekiddush. They can't be profane, they can't be chol, they can't be really inappropriate. We should really, not only our holy times of learning and davening, but all other times as well, we should really try to imbue our lives with kedusha, just like the clothing that was not seen from the Kohen Gadol, but nonetheless, it had to be kodesh. We are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, and it says in Pasuk, Tes Zayin, Pasuk Lamed, the Pasuk we read in the introduction to this year, that on Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titaharu, we are here to be metaher, we are here to purify ourselves in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? What is this tahara? Hagaon, Rabbi Avram Hagaon, says as follows. He brings a mashal, fascinating mashal. There was once a very wealthy nobleman who was walking along, and he's passing a garbage heap, and he sees a very impoverished individual by the garbage heap, and the person is rummaging, and this individual is filthy. He hasn't showered in weeks or months or years. He is absolutely filthy and smelly, and this wealthy individual, he has mercy on the person. He feels bad for him, and he says, do you want to try to lift yourself out of poverty? If you do, if you're interested in cleaning yourself up and coming, I'll give you a job. Why don't you come and work for me? I'll give you a salary. You'll be able to live like a mensch. And the Ani, the poor person, was so excited, he goes to hug his new boss. And the boss, he jumps back. He doesn't want to be touched by somebody who was really filthy and just reeked terribly of so many days, weeks, and months not showering. And then the wealthy person says, calm down, let's hold off on any hugs. Why didn't you come over to my place, come over to my house. We'll give you a shower. You'll go shower yourself. We'll give you appropriate clothing, new clothing that'll fit you properly. And let's start that way. So that's what he did. He brought him into his home, and they showed him where the room was that he could stay, and the bathroom that he could, and give him nice clothing that would fit him, and say, okay, go clean yourself up. So this poor individual, he goes into the bathroom and he sees around, what a beautiful bathroom, it has such beauty, just the bathroom is so nice. And then he sees all the cosmetics and he sees all the potions and the lotions and the perfumes, and he can't believe it. They're in such beautiful beautiful packaging, and he's just looking around amazed. And he says, okay, I get it. I know what he wants me to be. I know I smell. I really do stink. I stink even for myself. So he starts applying the cosmetics and the potions and the perfumes, pouring it all over himself in order to improve his appearance and then his smell. And that is what he did. And he went out, and he goes, and he finds his new boss, and he's wearing the new clothing, ready to go, and he reeks still. He smells so terrible. He never took a shower. All he did was he poured stuff on top of the stench that he had. And here, with the stench that he had originally, and all the perfumes that were pouring on, and the mixture of the two, it was awful. It was an awful smell. And his boss, the nobleman, he just runs over to the window. It was just overpowering. The smell was just all over the room. It was thick. And he goes and he runs over to the window. He needs to breathe. And he says, why did you destroy all the perfumes? Why did you do that to yourself? You just mixed it all in with all the dirt that you have. Go back to the bathroom and wash off all of the filth that you have. And only after you bathe and you shower, at that point is when you put on the good smelling things. That's when you put on the lotions and the potions and the perfumes. And in fact, that is what the Pasuk says, Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. It's the Pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Daled, Pasuk Tetvav. First, remove the bad, avoid the bad, and then thereafterward, do good. Yoshiyahu says in the Pasuk as follows, Rachatsu Hizaku. Rachatsu Hizaku, which means wash yourselves, purify yourselves. It's in the same exact concept there. First wash yourselves, clean off the bad, and thereafterward purify yourselves, put on the good. And that is what the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. When it comes to Yom Kippur, Halavai, we should do it all year round, says Rabbi Avram HaKohen. Lifnei Hashem Titaru means that you're requesting to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yom Kippur. What do you need to do? You can't only just do good deeds. First, you have to start with the basics. Titaru, purify yourselves, means starting with getting rid of the bad, getting rid of the sins that we've done, getting rid of the bad midos that we have, and thereafterward improving ourselves and doing the good. As we said before, Sumera Vaseitov Titaru, to have a proper tahara, just like this poor individual, it's not only trying to run around and do mitzvahs, but first we have to get rid of the bad, we have to get rid of the filth, we have to get rid of the stench that we have. And then thereafterward, once we've gotten back to zero, because we were at negative, once we get back to zero, that's when we try to do all the good. And that's Lifnei Hashem Titaru. That's a real tahara. That's a purification. Get rid of the bad and then do great. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. It says in the Pasuk, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Gimel, Kemaseh Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Ta'asu, Kemaseh Eretz Kenan Lo Ta'asu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Klal Yisrael, don't do like the acts of Mitzrayim, and also don't do the acts of Eretz Kenan that you will be going to. You're leaving Mitzrayim, don't do what they did, and you're going on the way to Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, don't do what they do. The Sefer Baalei Bris Avram says as follows, it's not only talking about the to'evas, the disgraceful behavior, the illicit relationships that they had, it's not only talking about that, but it's talking about something much deeper. And he says as follows, when it came to Egypt, there was tremendous materialism, tremendous wealth, as it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis Yugimol, Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim, it was like the garden of God. Tremendous materialism, tremendous bounty there. And it also, it says, when it came to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael and Shmos, Tezayin, remembering what it was like in Mitzrayim, Bishivtenu Al Sira Baso, remember the meat. What it was a great, Bachalnu Lechem Nasova, we ate bread until we were satiated. That was Egypt. Egypt had a lot of bounty, had a lot of materialism, had a lot of great food. That's what Mitzrayim was all about. And in addition, Eretz Yisrael, similarly, it had tremendous bounty, had tremendous materialism, as it says in Dvarim, Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes, Eretz, Avast, Chalav, Udvash, a very famous Pasuk, Eretz, Lotetzar, Kobo, there's nothing lacking there. And that is why the Canaanim, they loved it so much. They appreciated the great fruit and the great wealth of Eretz Yisrael. So we see that duality. You're coming out of Mitzrayim, and all the wealth, and even you, Klal Yisrael, who missed it, you appreciated. Zacharnu asadaga, remember all the great bounty that we had in Mitzrayim, and also where you're going to Eretz Yisrael, there's great shefa, there's great bracha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, don't do like the Mitzrim, don't do like the Canaan. What does that mean? So Atem, you, Klal Yisrael, you Jews, you have to think about when you have the wealth, when you have the materialism, it's not simply to enjoy. That's not the point of it. It is not an ends to itself. As so oftentimes, somebody who has wealth, when we have wealth, or when we have anything, it becomes an ends. Even somebody who doesn't have, but they strive to have it, not because it's necessary, but simply because they want to have it. It's an ends, it's not a means. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in this pasuk as follows, you have to know, when it comes to bounty, when it comes to materialism, when it comes to wealth, it is simply a means to enable us to get to a certain place of having an elevated, exalted, and holy life. Money is a means to enable us to learn Torah, to be able to do mitzvahs, to be able to give tzedakah. And that's what this exhortation is. Kamaseh Eretz Mitzrayim lo ta'asu. Don't be like the Mitzrim, that the wealth was an ends. Don't do like Eretz Canaan, that the wealth was an ends. But Klal Yisrael, you have to know, whatever bounty and wealth we have, and please God, it should be much, it is not an ends. It is a means in order to be a better Torah observant Jew. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.